Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the amazing ways that you bless our life. We thank you, Lord, for the rain, which provides for our crops and foods and for things to grow. We thank you for the sunshine and the beautiful weather, the wind, all of your amazing creation. We give you the glory for that. Lord, this morning, as we turn our hearts toward prayer and we reflect on this truth about the need to be clean, to be right, to be holy before you, that our relationship with you would be right, that our prayers would be heard, I pray, Father, that you motivate and encourage everyone in this room to apply what we're talking about and learning today. We thank you, Father, for hearing us. We thank you for your forgiveness and your grace when we mess up. And we just pray, Lord, that we would be more faithful and dedicated to getting clean before you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in case you haven't been here for a while, we're in a study book called How to Develop a Powerful Prayer Life by Dr. Gregory Frizzle. There's some books out there in the foyer in case you have not had a chance to pick one up. You will really benefit from this book. It's pretty simple, straightforward, and gives you some practical steps on how to grow and improve your own prayer life. So if you haven't been here, be sure to pick one up. In the introduction of this particular book, Dr. Frizzle says that until you are totally convinced of the importance of a lifestyle of prayer and that prayer is your relationship with God, you're not likely to take the necessary steps to achieve one. He says the key to your prayer life is the key to your relationship with Christ. It begins with desire. Last week we covered chapter 4, which was his encouragement that as we come to God in prayer, as we get started, that we come to him with praise. You guys remember the psalm that says, enter his courts with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. We are to come before God in his throne room at his invitation with thanksgiving and praise, remembering and praising him for all the things he has done for you. And, you know, that could take you a long time if you sat and meditated on all that he's done for you. Meditated and praised him for who he is. I mean, God is good. He is loving. He's just. He's merciful. So we start out with that. And then today he begins with, in chapter 5, getting clean before God, the path to holiness. So begin your time of prayer with praise and adoration, and then get clean with God. This is the perfect start to our prayer lives. Now, nobody in here wants to talk about sin, I'm sure. Does anybody want to talk about sin? Okay, well, too bad. We're going to talk about it anyway. Nobody volunteered. Do you want to talk about it? We never want to talk about sin unless, of course, we want to talk about someone else's sin. You know, they've been doing this for a long time. Why else do you think Jesus said, take the speck out of your log out of your own eye before you help your neighbor take the speck out of theirs? That's because people have been doing this for 2,000 years. You know, it's a favorite pastime of Christians. So, let me ask you a question. How many of you have spent any time whatsoever in the middle school youth group room over at the elementary school? Have you spent any time in that room? 5, 6 of you or something like that? 7, 8? Okay, a few of you have spent some time in there. Now, so the question is, do you recall what that room smells like? Okay, the room smells like young teenage boys that do not know how to use deodorant or do not take a bath all that often, right? Yes, we all know that's what it smells like. And if you can just imagine, since most of you have not been in that room, tennis shoes. Listen, it's funny. Think about this, but at some point, young boys become teenagers, and all of a sudden, they become more concerned about how they smell. Something tells them that if they want to attract a girlfriend, they better get their act together, start taking a bath regularly, and start using deodorant. The fact is that when a young person, a young boy becomes a teenager, his motivation to be clean, to smell good, is driven for a relationship, for his desire for a relationship. The drive for a relationship is natural and instinctive. No longer do they have to be threatened by their mom in order to take a shower and to put on the deodorant. They have a new desire driving them to be clean. Now, I have three boys, and none of them are here today, so I could talk about them. But anyway, I know what I'm talking about. I've had three of them, not to mention I was once one myself. That is, pre-teenage boy. The interesting fact is this. When you are properly motivated, you and I will change our behavior to meet a goal, to obtain something, or to establish a relationship. Isn't that true? When you are properly motivated. Now, this illustration ties perfectly into our lesson in chapter 5. This week, Dr. Frizzle teaches that we should desire to get clean before God in order to have a close relationship with Him. He says that our uncleanness, our sin, hinders our prayer life and relationship. Now, think of it this way. If you never took a shower or bath, you never got clean or rarely did, what effect would that have on your relationships? How about at work? You probably wouldn't get that promotion. Nobody would want to be around you. At home, in the community, wherever you are, if you were never got yourself clean, it would affect your relationships. People would avoid you. They would talk to you as little as often, as little as possible, or they would talk about you, of course. Listen, if you never confess your sin and never repent, you are unclean. And it will hinder your prayer life and your relationship with God. It's imperative that we all accept this as true. Now, while this isn't a perfect illustration, I hope it's made an impression upon you. But if you're not convinced, think about this. Peter warned husbands. He said that if you are mistreating your wife, your prayers are not going to be answered. So it is vitally important that we are clean before God, that we are not holding on to sin. Peter said, treat her, your wife, as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. And the paragraph immediately following that, Peter says this, talking to Christians about how they're to treat one another. He says this, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. Here we go. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns His face against those who do evil. God's ears are open to our prayers, to the prayers of those who do right. Sin damages our relationship with others and with God. Sin hinders our prayers, and because of our unwillingness to confess and to repent, our prayers are dry and powerless. So when you pray, spend ample time praising God, thanking Him for all the amazing things that He's done, but don't neglect to ask Him to search you. Just as King David said. King David said in Psalms 139, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Allow God to bring to your mind the sins that you have committed. And when He convicts you or tries to correct you, admit your sins. Admit that you're wrong. To confess your sins before God simply means to admit it, to acknowledge. You know, God's word says that this is wrong, and God has pointed this out in my mind and my heart. And you just say, God, I recognize that this is wrong. Lead me, direct me. So admit your sins, which is good, but then there's the second part of that, which is to repent. It means to turn away, to stop doing it. Turn away and do it immediately. As parents, all of you know this is a fact, but If you ask your kids to do something and they are obeying you slowly, they'll get around to it when they get around to it. They're really disobeying you, aren't they? We do the same thing with repentance. God brings something to our mind. We admit it. We realize it's wrong. And then what do? We drag our feet, which is the same as disobedience. The reason this is so important, that sin is hindering our prayer lives and hindering our relationship with Him, is that God's work in you is to make you holy, to make you more and more like Him. And guess what? That requires that you change. You may think, well, I'm as good as I'm ever going to get. I'm as far along the path of holiness as I'm ever going to be. But that's simply not true. God is going to work in you and mold you and shape you like a piece of clay all the days of your life, but you have to allow Him. He wants you to be holy. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians verse 3 and 7, he said this, God's will is for you to be holy. And in verse 7, God has called you to live holy lives, not impure lives. And again, Peter calls us to a holy living. He says this, so you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. But now, you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. It is the will of God that you change, that you get clean, that you confess your sins, that you repent of your sins, you turn away from living your own way and doing things your way, but turn to Him. And the evidence, listen, the evidence that you are truly spending time confessing your sins and repenting of your sins is that you're becoming more and more holy. It's just like the evidence of a person who's taking a shower and putting on deodorant every day. They smell good. They smell clean. But the person who neglects to take care of themselves and clean themselves, even after a few days, they start to smell. That's what it's like for you as a Christian. Without taking time to confess and repent and get clean before God, you start to stink. You are unclean. Now, God makes us clean. You can't go to the grocery store and buy a bar of soap that's going to get your soul clean. You know, the only thing that's going to get your soul clean is the blood of Jesus Christ, faith in Him. God makes us clean by forgiving us because of our faith in Jesus Christ. But we have a part to play. We have to ask God to reveal our sins. And when He reveals your sins, to repent, to be diligent, passionately pursue the death of every sin in your life. Be committed to destroying it and getting rid of it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, he said this in the chapter that we know, the chapter of love. And it's often quoted at wedding ceremonies. He says, but when I grew up, I put childish ways behind me. Now, don't we live in a culture, in a day and an age, and it may apply to some of you, when people simply refuse to grow up and put childish ways behind them? 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul giving advice to his young disciple who was probably anywhere from 18 to 20 years old. Paul says this, Run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Turn away from your childish behavior. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Turn away and repent. Because of our lack of confession, many prayers are dry and powerless. We must never forget that God will not hear us if there is unconfessed sin in our life. Mark this well. The depth and power of your prayer life will never be greater than the depth of your daily, daily confession and cleansing. If your confession time is brief, inconsistent, and shallow, then so will be your power with God. Please prayerfully consider the following illustration that shows the awesome importance of thorough confession. And the very next page, he shares this testimony of these missionaries who were in Shangtung province of China. In the early 1900s, a group of dedicated American missionaries had gone to the toughest area in China. It was a hard ministry, and the missionaries had sacrificed greatly going through this tough region. Now think about this. These are Americans in the early 1900s. The great sacrifice, it's not like they could just easily travel over there. They made huge sacrifices to get over there. Think about what they gave up to serve God. They probably gave up home, jobs, career, not to mention their time, the possibility of their life being given. They went for God's cause and for his purpose. And yet, what do we read in this testimony? As the missionaries went over there, they got the response was stony hearts, coldness on the behalf of the Chinese people. They were cold, they were indifferent. And they cried out to God and said, "What is going on? You called us here. We left family and friends and jobs. And here we are for you, for your work. And these people you've called us to serve, they are your creation. What is wrong?" Now just put yourself in that same position. All the sacrifices you've made. You're all the way in China. You're in a foreign land. All the things you're doing to serve God, to please him. And yet, they were hindered because of their hidden and unconfessed sin. God answered them and said, "You have sin that you need to deal with. You are not truly filled with the Holy Spirit." Now just think about that for a minute. How shocking it must have been, this revelation to this group of missionaries, to realize all the commitment, all the sacrifice they had made. And one of them had quoted that when she went off to pray and ask God to search her heart, she discovered there were small attitudes. Just small attitudes that were hindering her faith, hindering her prayer life. And they have been small, they may have been small, they may have seemed insignificant to you, to me, but they were huge in God's eyes because they were preventing the work of the Holy Spirit from flowing through that person and all the others. Now the good news is once their sins were revealed, once their sins were confessed, once they got right with God and they asked God to fill them again with the Holy Spirit, revival broke out. People were coming to them in the middle of the night wanting to be saved. And what did it take? It took for them to get rid of this unconfessed and this hidden sin and to get right, to get clean, to be filled again with the Holy Spirit. And the people from China and this province flooded into the kingdom of God. Now, this story has had a particular impact on me this week, in this last couple weeks, really. And I sincerely believe that any one of us could be in the same exact position of these missionaries, attending church, worshiping Christ, serving with the desire to please God, actively pursuing the work that he has called you to, and yet sin is preventing the full indwelling of the Holy Spirit in your life. Sin is preventing, it's hampering the advancement of the kingdom of God. Now, reflecting on this for myself has made me really think about the small areas of my own life. This testimony, I mean, I think maybe all of you could admit the same thing, whether it's big things or small things. There are probably some attitudes or some things that you are holding on to that you need to confess and repent and change. Casual attitudes about sin may be the most damaging because they're not as obvious as murder or stealing or adultery or lying or taking the Lord's name in vain. They may appear to be small matters, but they are hindering the work of God in your life or in my life or in the life of the church. Dr. Frizzle spends the balance of this chapter discussing the categories of potential sin, and it is worth your time to look through them, to study those categories, to read the verses, to truly reflect on them for yourself. And just say, "God, reveal to me, is there unconfessed sin? Are there hidden sins? Is my attitude casual about sin? I wonder if there is something in you, some sin keeping you from experiencing the full manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your life that Christ wants for you. Now, of all these categories of sin, I believe the most difficult to deal with, if you guys remember, if you've read through this, of the five categories, is these relationship sins. Now, it's one thing that if you have a poor attitude and you confess it to God, admit it to God, you repent to that attitude, just between you and God, and guess what? It's just between the two of you. You confess it, you repent, he forgives you, go on with your day. If you have a problem with your tongue, maybe you have a difficulty where you're cursing, taking the Lord's name in vain, or using coarse jokes, or you're gossiping, you admit that, say, Lord, you know, I am struggling with this, please forgive me. I admit it, I confess it, get right with God, and move on. But suppose you have offended or hurt someone else. You have sinned against another person. You go to God, yes, I admit it, yes, I confess it, I did that, I'm wrong, I'm sorry, and God forgives you. But then he says, aha, now you need to go make it right with this other person. And that's when pride steps in. And you say, I'm not going to do it. I won't, I can't, I don't have time, excuse after excuse. Been down this road before, it doesn't seem to help. All the while, we're refusing to obey God and truly get right with another person, repenting. Relationship sins are the most difficult, I believe, to deal with, because it isn't just between you and God, it's between you and God and another person, or maybe persons. Here's the thing. Paul would offer you this encouragement if this is you. While you are still sinning, admitting that there is something wrong, coming before God, asking him to forgive you and help you, being willing to go and reconcile with another person, Paul would say this to you. In Romans, he says, if it is possible, okay? If it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. Notice Paul isn't saying, be at peace as you're able. You can't control another person's desire to be at peace with you, but you can control your willingness to be at peace with them. You are getting your relationship with God right first and foremost, which is by far the most important. Now, I can remember, and I've shared this testimony before, and I'm sure many of you can share something similar, but I remember going and writing, you know, it's a too long story, but I wrote a letter to my dad, gave the letter to my dad, and in the letter, I asked for forgiveness, and I offered forgiveness. It was a lengthy letter about my faith and how much I had been hurt, you know, as a young person. Anyway, long story short is, he didn't receive it all that well. Almost the first thing out of his mouth was, are you, asked me if I was part of some kind of cult, like if I was, somebody had made, put me up to this, and it was crazy. The point is I did what God put on my heart, and it was not received. And it wasn't until probably 20 years later that my dad got his relationship with God right, was baptized into Christ before he ended up passing away. The point is as far as it's up to you, be at peace with everyone. You can only control yourself in that regard. And I would just ask you and challenge everyone in this room, whether it's a friend, a family member, a parent, a sibling, a coworker, really, truly reflect on whether or not you are at odds with another person and say, Lord, what can I do to be at peace with this other person? And I hope and I pray that all of you will take some time to meditate through this chapter and reflect on these sins, these five categories of relationship sins in particular, and ask God to lead you and to correct you. And this is what I believe will happen. I suspect that you personally, not to mention our church, would see a greater manifestation of the Holy Spirit working in each one of us and us as a church. The Holy Spirit would come and fill us even more, and we'd see a greater advance of the kingdom of God if we will simply get clean and get right. I want to close with this particular thought. When you are properly motivated, you will change your behavior. And the reason you won't change your behavior is because you lack the desire or the motivation. There's nothing that you're trying to obtain, no goal, no relationship you're trying to establish. You're not trying to do anything in particular, but when you are properly motivated, you will change, and you will ask God, God, show me what I need to do and how I need to change. I pray that all of you will decide right now, before you leave this room today, to truly spend time meditating, confessing, repenting, and surrendering to God. Take time to reflect on these categories as you read through them and think about them. What do you need to get rid of in your life? Maybe there is something that you simply refuse to let go. It might be a possession. It might be a hobby. It might be something that you take a lot of comfort in that you need to get rid of. What do you need to get rid of? And for all of us, I know that we might be thinking it's something small and insignificant. It's meaningless, Mel. It's why should I pay attention to this small little detail? And yet that might be the one thing that is preventing you from experiencing God's fullness in your life with greater power. In 1 John 1:9, John says this, "But if you confess your sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness." How many of you want a clean slate? You want a brand new, fresh start with God every day? This is what he is saying. He's going to wipe away the past, and he's going to give you a right relationship when you get right with him. Are you properly motivated? Amen? All right, pray with me. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this lesson, revealing to us this need to confess our sins, to get right with you, and really, truly, I hope, to recognize that our prayers and our relationship with you are hindered while we are holding on to things that are wrong. I pray that you lead every one of us down this path of confessing and repenting, getting clean, making us holy, that we might bring glory and honor to you, that all that we do, Lord, do not let us forget the lesson of these missionaries who went to Shantung and how this seemingly little insignificant things were preventing the full indwelling of your Holy Spirit, was preventing the advancement of your kingdom, was preventing people from getting saved and coming to know you. God, convict each one of us where we need to change and be corrected and make us into the people you want us to be. Lord, I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you that we can approach you at your invitation. Please help us all to feel like we can come to you to praise you, to confess, and to give you offering of thanksgiving and praise. Lord, be with us as we leave here today. In Jesus' name, amen.